Okay, top to bottom. Dennis, Becky, Star, Enos, Robert, Amelia, and Christopher.
Okay. Maybe you can tell us more about the old man.
Oh, he passed away, I think, about 5 years ago. And since that time, I haven't seen anyone maintaining that. There may be someone doing it that I don't know about, but it really struck me as a loss, because he was trying to teach the young people how to find black ash, how to pound it, and how to splinter it, right to making a basket. And without him to teach some of the young ones now that might be interested in it, it is definitely a loss.
What do you think can be done to maintain it and to preserve it, to keep it from dying out?
I've thought a lot about that, and in my experience, the only way to keep it from dying out is to do what we're doing now, having the children learn to take an interest in their culture and to help them to get some form of enjoyment out of it, so that it's not a burden of their culture, but an enjoyment and a preservation.
What do you think the community can do to maintain and preserve it?
I think one of the most important things the community can do is to share the culture with neighboring communities. And I've read a little in past few years about what they're doing in that regard. And one of the most important things is the incorporation of the native language into public schools. The language here on the reserve was known to be only spoken by a few people, but now they have a language program at the day school for 2 years, pre-kindergarten and kindergarten, that all the children participate in. And I was quite pleased when my little ones came out of there speaking more Delaware than my husband and I both. And I was very happy that they could go to their grandfathers and speak to him in his language and have him understand them.
Do you feel that the future generations can benefit from this, by this?
Yes, I've noticed that it is a changing arena. Some things are so different. Just the idea that there are traditional and fancy categories indicate the change that's taking place in Native culture. The traditional people mainly use what was used in the past, hides and furs and very old style and old color beads, and the fancy dancers still use beadwork, but it is in a fashion that has an attractiveness, a cut glass bead, a shiny bead, the shiny material that they use for their garments. It's changing, but it's at least being preserved.
Besides doing craft work, what other type of work are you involved in, or what other type of?
I am a Native counselor. I've worked in employment counseling. I've worked in social services, and I'm currently enrolled in a Native counselor's training program. And I feel that that's an important part of my life because I can relate to situations that young Natives find themselves in, whether it's regarding their education or their employment, and they both go hand in hand. And if I can help them through a counseling service to overcome what is a barrier for them, then that would make life a little easier for them and help myself feel that I'm contributing as a part of a culture and a society.
If you were asked to teach a group beadwork or how to make outfits, would you be willing to do it?
Oh yes, I've done quite a few different workshops on, well, as far as my work takes me, on decision-making processes and the programs we've done in the school regarding culture and education. I think it's very important, and as far as knowing how to do something, I feel that's a responsibility to share it with someone else.
So you don't feel that if you make something, a lot of people tend to say, well, I don't want to show anybody because they're going to take it away from you?
No.
I tend to know a lot of people like that.
Mm.
They don't like to share their designs or their beadwork or whatever else that they do.
Mm-hmm. Well, that, I guess, is a part of, yes, this is all that, it's taken a long time. I know at one time I didn't even like people to take my pictures because I thought they're going to take my pattern, they're going to take my colors and send them to Japan and have them all over, you know, at a cut rate. But anymore, that is not important to me because it seems like a self-serving idea. If I can share something with someone, then that speaks for what that person feels about me as a person. If they are willing to share, then so am I. And that seems like a very traditional Native concept to me. It's to share and to give of yourself what you can.
How do you feel about the women's workshop doing this interview on you? Because it's a non-Native organization, I'd like to maybe get your input.
I am so pleased that the non-Native community has finally taken interest and realized the significance of our culture. We spoke once before on this women's workshop, and in my mind I grasped the idea right away that they're doing Natives because they haven't done them in the past. And I fully support that idea because I think we do have a lot of understanding to impart on both sides. I worked at the Red Schoolhouse in St. Paul, which was an Indian-owned and operated educational facility. And there I learned that in order to survive in a culture that is different from ours, we have to learn from that culture what is going to benefit us if we're going to survive. So I am willing to participate to help them to understand our culture and in turn strengthen our survival in a culture that is foreign to us.
You were showing me some eagle feathers that you want to share with your daughter, and I was going to ask you, what's the meaning of the eagle feather and why is it important to Native people?
The eagle feather, eagle represents the keeper of the land. The eagle is symbolic because he flies so high above the earth, higher than any other living creature. And in his flight, he can see a lot of things, a lot of territory. And from this vision, the eagle has wisdom. The keepers of the land, in my understanding, are veterans. And so our eagle feathers are honored and guarded by the veterans of the Native nations. My husband is a Vietnam era veteran, and he's participated in our gatherings in a very important way, which is him carrying the United States flag. And in doing so, he carries the colors of the nation that he fought for, and he's the only one that can do that. He's seen live action in battle, and he is mandated to uphold that symbol of the nation. And the eagle feather is similar in that respect.
You told us about the eagle feather, but there's also another feather. It's called a hawk feather. Do you know any meaning on the hawk feather?
I have very little experience with hawk feathers, but I do know that the hawk is also a bird of prey and held in high regard. Something interesting I saw on one of the National Geographic television shows, and it reminded me so much of Indian people in this century. They're going back to studying the way Indians did long ago. But there was a breed of hawks and eagles, and they wondered what the offspring of that combination would be. And there was a vulture that was in this series as well. And the vulture couldn't lay eggs for some reason. It was barren. So she went and stole the eagle's eggs. But that vulture couldn't teach the eagle to develop its skills as a hunter, because an eagle is swift in flight and a vulture is very clumsy. They prey on what's already dead, so they don't have to be too fast. But they wondered what the outcome would be for the offspring of these eaglets that were being raised by vultures, because there was such a difference in species. But the hawk is, I imagine something that is similar to a warrior. A bird that would...
It talks about medicine. It talks about I know I had a dream, and in my dream I was given two hawk feathers. And in the dream I asked the two women that were giving me the feathers what they meant, and it meant medicine. So I haven't had a dream since, so I know that.
Oh, that's really interesting. To me, that would impart a healing process for the Native culture, mm-hmm. You know, to attend or to give attention to something that was ill and ailing, on the verge of being extinguished. Mm-hmm. The medicinal part of it would be perhaps a revival.
something similar to that. I haven't gotten it all. I just know basically some of it. I was told at one time, but because I was running short of time, I didn't really have time to ask fully what it was about, and I didn't have the time to wait around because I had somebody was taking me home.
Oh, yeah.
So I didn't have too much time. I was up at Cape, and they had a piece assembly up there.
Oh, yeah.
And my husband and I and my cousin put it together.
I remember that. That was, we danced a dance for that at Walpole Island Powwow.
Oh.
And it was for the International Year of Peace.
Yeah.
And my husband and I danced, and I asked him, if I dance this dance, does that mean that none of our sons will ever have to go to war? And, you know, it was wishful thinking, I imagine, but something that I would certainly hope for.
Did I forget anything, Betsy?
I think you did well. That was an excellent interview.
Mm-hmm. Besides, I know there was something you were doing. Besides doing, working with your craft work and working with the Native people around here, you're also involved in some sort of program doing with boys.
All Ontario Little NHL. It's an all Indian program, and reserves from all over Ontario are invited to compete. And each year, the host is a different reserve. They move the tournament each year. And we got our boys together this year for the first time. And we had a little bit of a problem because we didn't have enough players. This is our players list up here by the phone. We had players from Cape Croker and Kettle Point that were additions to our team. And we had jerseys made for them and a banner and towels and team sticks and pucks, and we ran into financial havoc. We had to do our own fundraising, and we had very little support in that sense. So we really put everything we could into the tournament, and as it turned out, we lost all the games in the tournament, but I still maintain that we had the best defensive team in that tournament.
I also understand that you do a little bit of fall poetry, or you write short stories. Can you tell us a little bit about what you do?
Well, I enjoy poetry and writing. As another means of expression, but I think my husband would be the expert in that area. He's a very sensitive person, and he was he's a graduate of the Native Journalism Program at Western, and he's working on his own, doing different research papers, submitting articles to reserve newsletters, just to keep in touch with his learned skills, and at the same time developing his writing skill, he's learning to express himself from what he really feels.
Interview.
Okay. Well, thank you for interviewing me, Carol.